This is LWT, part of the ITV network. It's now time to hit the rewind button as we join those cheeky chaps over at the Retro Asylum.
Hello and welcome to episode 101 of the Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. I'm Paul, and today I just want to start the episode just with this little quick intro before going on to the main part of the show. This episode, it's having a look back at last month's event at Play Expo over in Manchester, which was an absolutely fantastic weekend that some of the team got to. But obviously, I'll be going into that in greater detail. The episode has been set up that myself and Phil, last one up on Twitter, and the guy who does the amazing artwork for our covers, we had a sit-down chat after the entire weekend to discuss what we thought of both days. But as well as that, we've got a part of the show that's going to follow on from that, that was recorded on the Saturday afternoon with Steve and a few others who were at play on that afternoon. Anyway, before we get to that, just want to give a shout out to some of our sponsors. First of all, we've got Dino Dini. He's been a massive, massive help for the show. We've got, of course, Play Expo. Their next show is up in Blackpool. That's going to be start of May next year, 3-day event. Can't wait. We've also got Funstock, and they've been selling the JXD retro gaming tablet. Just managed to get myself one of those. Absolutely fantastic piece of hardware. And you can get 5% off your order if you do use the code ASYLUM at checkout. As well as Funstock, we've got Retro Towers, and you can get 5% off your orders there by putting in the code Retro Asylum, and they deal exclusively with the EverDrive, so there's a lot of great stuff to check out on their website. As well as them, we've also got Retro Mash, Mark Rung, the Retro Hunter Alley, Anthony Tillett, and Matthew Clark. So thanks a lot, guys. Obviously, all the donations go towards the running of the show, general hosting fees and everything like that, because obviously we want to keep doing this, we enjoy doing it, and we hope that you keep enjoying listening to it. So, thanks to everyone, obviously, downloading our shows. We've had some great weeks, high in the iTunes chart. So, if you haven't done already, please leave us an iTunes review. Everyone helps. Please subscribe and check out our official Retro Asylum YouTube channel. There's hours of footage on there now, covering all sorts of topics, looking at all sorts of games, systems. Some of our most popular videos on there at the moment, we've got the Commodore 64 versus Spectrum debate in its entirety. That was shot over at Play Expo last month. That's been so popular. Also got the Ocean panel that was recorded a little bit earlier in the year over at Revival. And then another one of our popular videos was Swainy getting his hands on a mint condition Spectrum from Cash Converters, so he has a closer look at that. So like I say, get over there, have a quick look at the official Retro Asylum channel. Leave us a comment, tell us what you think, tell us anything you want to see us discuss. Anyway, that's enough from me, on with the show.
Welcome to the Retro Asylum. Welcome to the Retro Asylum.
Hello everybody, this is Paul, and with me today I've got Phil from the team. How are you doing, Phil?
Doing all right, yourself?
Yeah, not so bad. Just ready to discuss today's topic, and just as well as that, a bit of the usual retro chit-chat. What have you been up to, Phil?
Just been kind of chilling out this week. It was quite a busy week last week at work and stuff like that, so I've managed to chill out. Decided to trade in Destiny on Tuesday, and got Alien Isolation, which I'm slowly trying to get to grips with actually playing it and not being scared out of my wits.
So I know we don't usually talk about new games, but in a nutshell, worth playing?
I'd say so. I mean, it's got like some really good tropes. If you're really into the film, there's like so much that is so familiar. I mean, they've kind of like, it's the minute detail that they've kind of gone into in creating like the set, recreating the sets and stuff. Because it's not set on the like the Nostromo, but it's set on a similar kind of ship. So all of the like the architecture and that's quite similar and stuff. And it's just, if you're a fan of the original film like me, it's just like, it's almost like you're part of the film. And it's just fantastic.
Right, excellent, excellent. I mean, the only alien game I've played recently, Aliens vs. Predator scrolling beat-em-up.
Yeah, which is possibly one of the best games Capcom have ever put out.
It's good fun. And playing that recently, it was the fact that you could just, you know, be two types of Predator and two types of Marine. And
yeah, it's based quite heavily on the Dark Horse comics, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like I said, I remember having a couple of the Dark Horse comics, obviously, when it was all that RoboCop versus Terminator and things like that, you know, early 90s, really. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, all the listeners will know that I'm a massive fan of my scroll and beat 'em up. So, any chance to play through something that I've never had chance to have a go on before, it was a lot of fun, definitely.
So, had you not played it before that point?
No, never. Never.
Oh, right.
I saw the Super Nintendo version in magazines as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
And I'd never, well, I can't think of ever coming across it really in any of the local arcades. Mm. Well, I say local, you know, like up in Blackpool or anything. And all the time I was just always stuck to things like, you know, Final Fight and all my usual sort of beat-em-ups and Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really, really good.
It's just how like lush and chunky this, and how colourful the sprites and that are, and the kind of, even though you're only fighting aliens, it's kind of the variety that they put in. It's like, I know they kind of played with the license a bit, it's so interesting, like the hive creatures and stuff. It was quite good. I liked it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, another game that I've been playing, again, another scroll and beat 'em up. It's just because, well, I've still had the arcade cabinet at the moment, longer than I thought I would, so I've been grateful for that. So I've just given me a chance to catch up on quite a few arcade games I've missed. Mm. And I gave The Punisher a try recently.
Good.
Another game that I'd never played. Yeah. And I know, obviously, it's two players with Punisher and Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. And that was a fantastic game, you know. Yeah. Using guns and things like that. Again, mm-hmm. The big chunky sprites and everything. I think at that time, just Capcom knew how to make the, you know, classic scrolling mm-hmm. beat-em-ups. I know there were a lot of them and everything, but
yeah.
Proper coin gobblers as well. And
No. Yeah, they learn the difficulty curve is just immense, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I suppose one good thing is, while it's been on the cabinet, I've not had to worry about putting a 20-30p at a time in, otherwise
exactly,
it must
yeah.
be a fortune.
No, it would do. Okay. It kind of like, the way I look at it, I mean, I'm gonna invest in one of them. I think I'm gonna try and get one of them cabs for Christmas. But when you're playing like the likes of like Metal Slug and the like the side scrollers or especially like the shmups and stuff, when you haven't got like the idea of you don't have to put more money in it to get further, it kind of almost takes some of the edge off playing it for me.
No, like, I know what you mean there, definitely.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's only like with like playing Metal Slug or something on the PS2 or something. Oh, well, it's just a matter of time for how long at the end. When you play like the original Metal Slug on the arcade, it's like, oh, wow, I managed to get like, I only spent £2 and I got past the first level. And it's like, it's in a sense of achievement that you kind of saved your money by like getting as far as you could, and it's about. But you know what I mean? When you don't have to pay, it's kind of like you don't have that sense of achievement on money you didn't spend.
No, I understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to touch upon that when we start talking about what we played at Play Expo as well, because again, I've got a couple of games which sort of back up
you
know, that sort of theory.
Yeah.
So have you played anything else on home consoles or anything?
What else have I played? I mean, The only other thing I played really was, again, not really retro, but was Shadow of Mordor. It's like, on the basis of it, you'll go like, oh, well, that's just Assassin's Creed set on Middle-earth in Lord of the Rings. But when you start playing it, it's got like a nemesis system that it's like the hierarchy of the orcs. And it can change based on what they do and what you do in the environment. And it's genius. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And it took like what would be like a lazy copy and added something to it. And it was just that it's phenomenal. But I only got to borrow that, so I'll give it back. I'm going to intend to probably buy it later.
Right.
And the other thing I picked up was after being a player, which I want to probably talk about later, is Tempest 2000. But I want to save that, talk about that to later.
Yeah, no worries. That's fine. That's fine. Again, I suppose in regards to what I've been playing, like you, before you know it, when obviously you're in work all week or whatever, the week just flies by.
Mm.
Like, off one of my mates, he's lent me his Sega 32X, which I've still not had a chance to get on just yet. And I will put one night to one side to make sure I get to at least try it out, because it's a console I've never tried. And I think with that, he's got Virtua Racing and I'm sure it's Space Harrier and a Star Wars game. So I want to give that a try. And apart from that, I was having a quick go on Banjo-Kazooie, a game that I've never played before on the N64.
Yeah.
And that's a great game, obviously, by Rare.
I've never played that.
No, well, like I say, up until last week, I hadn't either. Mm-hmm. And it's not so bad. I'm trying to get into the N64 because I've touched upon this before, but at the time, because I went down the Sony route, it was everything on, you know, PlayStation 1 rather than N64 and the Saturn. So obviously I've missed out on a lot of games. And again, it's stuff we've all, you know, experienced. But the older you get, you've got more money to get these things. But less time to play them. I also picked up, what was it, Super Mario 64, a game that I'm really struggling to get into because of I struggle with the 3D environment. Now, I don't know if it's just because it's, you know, the early 3D platformers type thing, but just for when you're doing things like jumping from platform to platform, sometimes you find yourself having to look at the shadow on the floor to make sure that the bomb is where it should be. It's probably just me being bad at it. I mean, the listeners know that I'm always saying how bad I am at some games, but I'm going to stick at it because I know it's meant to be like one of those must-own games.
Yeah, well, when we were kids and the N64 came out, it was kind of like there was more people with, it was quite strange because it is a console that really polarizes opinion. Mm. But in my mates, there was only one lad who had PlayStation 1. The rest of us had N64s.
Right, okay. So,
everybody seemed to have like the GoldenEye one as well. I was like, I'm going to get mine. And I didn't want the GoldenEye one because I thought, what's the point? We always play it as a group anyway. None of us play it like single player. So if we're going to play it, we're all going to be there. So I may as well get something different. So I got the Mario 64 bundle instead. I think it's one of the best games ever made. I think it's probably because I wasn't like, that was the first Nintendo console I owned because I always had Sega. And so when I, it was like kind of my first, I'd played on like the Super Nintendo and my mates and stuff like that, but it was the first time I'd properly sat down with a Mario game to play it.
I should stick with it then, really.
So for me, it wasn't anything like, anything different. You know what I mean? I wasn't like going, oh, well, this doesn't feel right because this isn't like a proper Mario game, because it was like, it was completely new to me anyway. And I adored it, man. I think it was absolutely fantastic. It was one of the first ever games I completely like 100%ed as well.
No, I'm going to have to get onto that. I mean, finally, sticking with the platformers, I went a bit platform crazy this day. And I also got Donkey Kong 64. And again, well,
very poor, isn't it?
It's something I'm struggling with. Mm. There's a theme here, you know, platformers, and I struggle with them all. It's because I picked up the expansion pack and I know that requires it. So I was like, okay, I'll give this a try. Obviously, it's, you know, one of the key Nintendo characters. Mm. So I do want to obviously try and get into that. And the problem is I keep adding more and more games to my collection, and obviously the more I add, the less time you have to actually play on them. But other than that, that's all I've really bought since obviously we saw each other at play, and I know it's only going back a couple of weeks, well, from when we're recording this, but it's still a few more games, you know, on the shelf and everything. But yeah, and so in regards to playing anything else, I think that's roughly about it. On PlayStation 3 Network, I'm going to mention it, Splunky, which I know is a bit sort of like that retro vibe to it. It reminded me quite a lot of Rick Dangerous, I think, because of a character you are as well.
Yeah.
And I've seen loads of people go on about it. And it was like on the PSN, you know, membership as a free download. So I was like, well, I'll give it a try. So yeah, I had a quick blast on that the other night, you know. And the other thing that we've got on there as well is one of the scrolling beat-em-ups for Dungeons & Dragons. And I've not had a chance to have a go on that just yet.
Yeah.
Really, it's retro-related.
Well, that's one of the ones that I was after for the Saturn. Because, but that normally, it's only like you can only have Japanese import.
Right.
And it is one of them ones that does actually, normally your Japanese stuff you can get quite cheap. But this is one that kind of has like quite a, not a massive value, but like a kind of 50 quid mark, I think. And it's like, I'm just kind of biding my time when it's right to kind of pick that one up. So I didn't know whether to, like, I was thinking going, oh, I'll go and get that on the PSN. And I was thought, like, well, do I want to play it on the PSN? Or do I just want to kind of wait and get it on the Saturn? So I'm a bit, like, middle groundy with that at the minute.
No, I'll give that a try. I mean, Finally, the only other thing that I've been doing, and that's just reminded me of what you said about import games, just being in the process of starting to put together a bit of a YouTube series looking at the old Super Play magazine, Top 100 Super Nintendo games. So that should, you know, be up relatively soon on our YouTube channel, if not already time this goes out. But looking at that Top 100... I remember, like, as a kid, you used to obviously have to get your import games from, you know, your independent shops and everything.
Yeah.
You see so many games, especially the RPGs, you know, American only. And it's just made me want so many games, but it's just obviously seeing the price of them. And again, this is something else that gets brought up a lot. But obviously, the price of Super Nintendo games just goes through the roof, you know, gets dearer and dearer each month.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I have, like, I think I've got about... probably about 30 odd Super Nintendo games, and I think I've only got like 4 boxed. And it's just like, it's because what I've always said is that because it came in like the cardboard boxes, that I don't necessarily mind because I know they were harder to kind of look after for people.
Yeah.
I'm much more like, even though I don't like the console as much, I'm much more like finicky about the stuff of the Mega Drive because it came in my theory is it came in a plastic case, so there's no reason why it shouldn't be in perfect condition.
No, definitely. I know there's a couple, and I only mean like a couple in cardboard boxes, but I'm like you. Sometimes I see the odd Mega Drive game out and about, and they're in those sort of hard shell plastic cases, and when they are quite bashed, you just think, how, you know? But sometimes you get the teeth inside, you know, that have snapped, so your cat's rattling around, and it's quite frustrating at times.
Yeah. Well, so for my loose carts, N64 and me Super Nintendo, I'm in the process of, I've got a few of them, but I'm in the process of trying to get all them Universal game cases. Have you seen them?
No, I've not.
What essentially they are, they are like a blank kind of video box kind of thing, but a bit smaller.
Right.
And they've got like a clear front that you can like slip a new cover in, and then so you can make like your custom covers for them. And then but on the in the inside they've got like certain, it's like a kind of grid, but it takes different size of carts so they don't rattle around. So it's like you might have your Mega Drive cart like facing top to bottom, but if you turn it to this, if you put it a Super Nintendo and you turn it to your side, it'll like hold it in the grip there.
Yeah, that's all right.
They are very, very good, and you can get them. I think GameSeek have them, and they're not terribly expensive. If you buy them in like bulk. Because obviously you're not going to just buy them
one at a time.
And they sell them in like batches of like 50 in that as well. So I was just going to go on and buy like 50 of them. And then when I get time, because I've done like a few of my own custom covers.
Right, okay.
Because sometimes, obviously you can go on to like the cover project and download covers and that. But they don't have like PAL versions for every game. Like a PAL custom cover for every game. So what I did was I took one that was kind of like a plain cover and cut it all up in Photoshop as a template, and then like just make my own. So I've made my own one for like WCW Revenge and stuff like that. I made a cover for that from scratch, and it looks awesome.
So you've got the artistic talent and stuff for that. I think if I did stuff like that, I think I'd make the Atari 2600 covers look absolutely like masterpieces.
The Mega Man cover.
Yeah. Oh God, no. That Mega Man cover just again be a masterpiece compared to me. It'd be like some sort of Stickman Sonic, you know, and just draw some blue spikes coming off him.
Yeah.
But moving on a little bit. Obviously, earlier on Twitter, I saw you mention something I'm not that familiar with. Probably a lot of the listeners will be, but with it being scrolling beat 'em up related. It obviously piqued my interest, and that is the Beats of Rage series.
Yeah, well, essentially what these are like homebrew games, and they're like obviously not entirely legal, but they are like fan-made versions of like, it started off as a Streets of Rage kind of mod, but then people have like taken it on and made like brand new games. So I think that one, it was like a version of Final Fight, but done with the Capcom, the SNK versus Capcom sprites from that Chaos game. So it looked like really interesting. It's got like, that kind of like totally different look. So, but instead of having like somebody like Cody or Guy fighting, you can use like Chun-Li and Ryu and stuff. They're varying quality. I mean, I've got one called Bare Knuckle Redux. And that is like, you can't really tell the difference between like that and like a proper Streets of Rage game. It's probably actually better than Streets of Rage 3.
Right. Oh God, yeah, it's not a great one, number 3, is it?
Yeah, but it's got like, they've got like added new a few new characters instead of having like, I think you can play as like Adam and stuff in that one, which is really cool. But the beauty of a lot of these Streets of Rage games is that you can download them. And then there's a lot of them done for the Dreamcast. So nice. I mean, there's a good few that you can like just play on your PC. But to play it on like, it's always better to play something like that on a console. And obviously, because the Dreamcast was so easy to pirate for.
Right. Okay.
you don't even have to have a cracked modded console. You just literally write them to a CD and chuck them in on the play.
So it really is easy. I mean, I think what jumped out for me is the fact that a lot of the entire genre of scrolling and beat-em ups died really with that die-hard arcade and fighting force, really. So obviously seeing these, it was like, oh, hang on a minute. Yeah. I think before you mentioned, there's meant to be a Final Fight one as well?
Yeah, Final Fight Apocalypse.
Okay.
Which is, I think that's even got, is it Scorpion from Saturday Night Slam Masters? He's the main boss in the whole game. He's got like this, he wears these kind of like kickboxing pants, but he's got like, he wears like a motorcycle helmet. It's really strange.
Right.
So, but he's like a playable character in I'm sure it's Apocalypse that I've got, that he's like a playable character. And it's like, again, that's like, because I say, I mean, the varying quality, and that's like one of the really like high, like grade ones. There's a market for the scroll and beat 'em up that I just think isn't being filled at the minute. It's like, I keep on Twitter, I keep pestering Capcom, because I think, and I've spoke, everybody I've spoke to thinks it's the same. It's like, they've made a load of characters for Street Fighter 4 that are from Final Fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Most of the guys, most of the main characters from Final Fight are in like some form of Street Fighter now and in the part of the canon. And it's like, why don't you just take the Street Fighter 4 engine and make a scroll and beat 'em up for Final Fight with like the, because they've got most of the assets. Like, can you imagine like playing with them characters in Street Fighter 4, like the Cody and Guy character and Hagger in like a new version of it? It would be amazing. I just can't understand why they haven't done it. Even just as like a, you know how like they're not, you know how you can kind of like just do like DLC for like new games and that now. It's like, surely it wouldn't take up that much to put a 2D scroller in using some of the characters as like just DLC for Street Fighter 4.
I was thinking exactly the same then.
Everybody would buy it.
Definitely, definitely. Well, it, you know, who knows? Let's discuss Play Expo 2014 over in Manchester. This was the first time we actually got to meet, you know, in person. What were your impressions of obviously the start of the weekend?
It was kind of daunting, like, because I'm quite nervous about when I, like, I'm all right, like, talking to people and stuff like that, but as soon as I get going. But, like, when I first, like, arrived and stuff like that, and I was like, oh, all these new people. And then I was a bit like, I didn't know what to do. And then, obviously, we were getting a bit, like, stressed out and stuff like that about, like, where our table and that was going to be. And then trying to, like, get set up. And then it was all like, oh, and this is this person. And I was like, all right, then. But it's quite strange because I've never been in that situation before where you kind of, you've talked to people, like Sam and stuff like that, like, speak to them quite a bit, especially on, like, Twitter and, like, obviously done, like, podcasts with Sam and stuff. Mm. And then... But, like, so you kind of feel like you already know people that you don't know. You know what I mean? It's like when we first met up with you, it's like as if we'd, like, been friends for a while.
No, that's true. I felt quite bad, though, because I was coming in into Manchester, well, to just out of Manchester where the event's held, and I'd had a text message off Ewan because I was hoping to be there a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. I just felt... really bad because it's like, oh, you know, I said I'd meet him at this time. And then I know you can see pictures of, like, me on Twitter and things, and obviously always wearing the Retro Asylum t-shirt at events like this. And then when you're coming over, you're like, you're right, Paul, it's Phil. And it's just funny because, like you say, you've spoke to these people so many times and then you're thinking, this is weird, you know.
Yeah.
It was the same earlier on in the year when I met Sam. I'd been speaking to him for over a year and it took us that long to meet when it came to trying to get set up, because we'd obviously had a table there to help promote the show, you know, somewhere to put our flyers out. Mm-hmm. Couple of small stands to help promote the podcast, and we bought a few little freebies in same vein as the Retro Hunter. I know when he's at these events, he likes to go and push the podcast and give out a few free games, so we thought we'd follow suit.
I think it's a really good idea to do for that kind of thing, because it's just people will remember, like, they'll come to your table for a reason, even just to look through your stuff. And I know, like, a lot of our I would go back, like, later on during the day and see, like, how it was going, see if anybody was kind of, like, standing around, like, and I just noticed that, like, a lot of our flyers had gone and stuff, and that's, like, quite nice. I mean, and then, like, all, like, I think by about midday or something on the first day, like, most of our stuff, free stuff was gone already.
Yeah,
I remember, I think it was, like, I'd literally already put my copy of Turtles on the NES down and, like, turned round and then when I looked back, it was already gone. And I was like, I thought nobody would want that.
No, it's always going to be popular. Hopefully, it wasn't just traders just going brilliant and then putting it on their stuff.
But to be fair, I had a feeling that you knew the guy who took it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was glad you said that, because I was looking through, like, some of the traders stuff and I was, like, looking through the games. And I know it's, like, a really, really common game. That's why, I mean, I've got two of them. That's why I, like, give one away, because I've, like, I've got a box complete version. And I was looking through and I was like, Turtles. On the NES, £10. I was like, card only. For more, less for the, because I don't really play on the consoles, because I've got the consoles that I want, I've got them at home. And the arcades, there's a lot, like, I'm much more, like, into me, like, 90s arcades rather than the 80s ones. So there's only ever a few games that I really want to play on the arcades. But so these events, I really go for the shopping, because I love looking through. Like, cause I used to collect, like, records and stuff like that as well. And I always loved looking through, like, vinyl records and stuff. And I used to go to, like, record fairs. But now these, I'm getting to go to events and stuff. And it's actually, like, flicking through, like, a box, like, just a huge box full of, like, loose cartridges and that. It's just one of the best things ever for me. And it's just, like, the actual, like, I always like the thrill of the hunt for looking for me games as well. I'd say I much prefer going to, like, an independent shop or an event to get me stuff than going on eBay, even though I use eBay, like, a lot. It's just, like, it's not the same.
No, I think, well, that's one of the big topics that's been brought up quite a few times on things like Twitter, because some people say, I know I can just do a search for it and just wait for it to come on eBay and pay whatever. But I think that's, especially from a collector's point of view, it's that thrill of a chase and then finding that bargain out in the wild.
Yeah, totally.
Sticking to that, obviously, you like going around the stalls. Mm-hmm. What did you buy?
Well, I was quite happy with what I got because I was like, I mean, I went. My initial plan was to go because I've nearly completed a version of every Street Fighter, apart from like going like getting multiple versions of the same game, and I think one of the only ones I'm missing now is Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter on the Saturn, and I was like, when I went to NERG, I got it like straight away. I mean, I had to run around like I spoke about this on the podcast and that where I did with Sam, but like. I ran around every stall and that, but I managed to finally find it. And I thought, well, this is like one of the biggest ones in the UK. It's definitely going to be there. So I was like, doing my thing, like going around, like, oh, have you got any import Saturn stuff? And it's like, I know that, like, where not where you would not, the stall that I normally buy, like, me import stuff from when I'm at these things. I thought, he's bound to have it. And I looked through his stuff and I was like, oh, it's not here. So I was a bit like, I'm not really going to get much I want this weekend. But, like, because I was, like, really downhearted that I didn't get it. But then when you kind of start looking through other people's stalls, it's like, it's that I got into that mode where, oh, I never really thought about buying that until I've just seen it and it's in my hand. And it's that's the kind of trap that I sometimes don't want to fall into because I end up getting, like, a load of stuff that I'm not really that bothered about.
Oh, I've been there, definitely. I did it myself in Leeds earlier in the year, getting Adam's family on SNES.
Yeah,
exactly. Sent him a collection for about a couple of months.
Yeah, and I bet you've barely touched it.
It's gone.
Well, I mean, I did get some like stuff that I was quite after. I mean, reading I'd never played Super Punch Out.
Right, okay.
But in Retro Gamer, they had like I don't know if you saw the article. They had like the cover article was on like Super Punch Out or the Punch Out series as a whole, and I was like, oh, why have I never had this? Like, why hasn't this been one of the first things I bought when I got me Super Nintendo? So I was like, I'm going to see if I can get that. And I found it, like, straight away. It was priced up at 19 quid. And I was like, I've seen it go for a lot more, but do I just leave it or do I get it for this price? Because I think it's one of them ones cart only might be able to get it slightly cheaper.
No, it keeps going up in value.
Yeah.
It's one of those sort of, like, key Super Nintendo titles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, just while being looking through that top 100 list, it is in that top 100 games as well. So you did all right with that.
Yeah. So and I asked the guy, I was like, oh, can you do us a deal on it? And he gave us it for like 18 quid. And it's like, yeah, it's only a quid off, but he didn't have to do us a deal. One of the other purchases I bought was, I think, was Story of Thor 2. And I was trying to tug on him a little to say like, oh, do you not fancy giving it? It was 30 quid and it's kind of like, about normally what it goes for. I've seen it go for like around about there. I was like, I want to see if I can be cheeky and try and get like a bargain. I was like, oh, do you fancy doing this for like 25 quid? And they were like, no. I was like, all right, I'll buy for 30 then.
I suppose it's always worth asking.
No, it's like, but that's the thing. It's like, if you were in game or something like that, you know, or HMV or something, you know you're not going to get a deal. But when you're in an independent shop, especially if you're a regular, or something, I'm not knowing you're kind of not a regular at an event or anything like that. But it's like, if you don't ask for a deal, somebody might be prepared to give you a deal.
No, definitely.
Or knock a bit of price off if you're going to buy more than one thing. The way I look at it is most traders in that are not paying anywhere near than what they're charging for it. Because if it did, they wouldn't do it. So it's like, you are making a lot of profit on this game anyway, so does a couple of quid matter? You know what I mean? It's like, in fact, you can knock it down by a couple of quid if you've got like the stones to ask.
No, I think if anything, it makes you go back to that stall as well. You know, so yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that anyway. And then again, I remember, I know we're skipping forward a day here, but on the Sunday, I saw a couple of stalls had changed, you know, the prices slightly because obviously they don't want to be taking everything back with them and everything. I know they've got to cover, you know, stall costs and everything like that. And then the other thing is, again, I know it's been mentioned, but theft as well. Did you get anything else while you were there for 2 days?
I think I got the best pickup of the whole event by anybody, personally.
Go on.
Was Brian Lara's cricket on the Mega Drive for 50 pence, complete in box. I hate cricket. I absolutely despise the sport, but my best friend it was like, he is a keen cricketer, and he used to play like county cricket and stuff like that. And he had it for his, I think he had it for his Super Nintendo when we were kids. And I remember playing it once, and I was like, it's cricket, I hate it. Come on, I'll just play football. And so I was like, I saw it, like 50 pence, and I was like, I'm getting that just to play it with my mate. So it was like, I think it was like a couple of, it wasn't last Friday, it was the Friday before. He was like, oh, my girlfriend's out tonight. Do you want to come over? Because obviously I have to stay in with the Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yes. And I'm bringing Brian Lara's. And we sat there, and just to be mate, it's like, he's not a retro gamer, but he's like, he plays games like casually. And it was just like the look of like the light on his face when he was picking his England squad and stuff. And then it was like having to sit there and like consult the manual, like, what are the controls? And it's like, it shouldn't be a good game, but it really is. Like I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was like, 50 pence, it's going to be rubbish. And then me and him sat and played it. Like, I think we played two games. And then we played like Micro Machines and played Sensible Soccer and that.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then we put like Brian Lara's back on. It was like, this is such a good game, isn't it? And it shouldn't be.
already you've got but a bag in there.
Exactly. I mean, it's 50 pence, and we spent about 3 hours on it.
I see. You can't go wrong.
That's paid for itself already in spades. And it's like, and it's one of them things that you kind of like, because I mean, most of the reason why I like to buy like my games collection and stuff like that is to enjoy them with my friends. Because I used to have to go to my friends to play, to their houses to play all their stuff, because I didn't have a lot of them when I was a kid. And it was like, and now I've got like a massive games collection. I get my friends to come around, and like, so I can like go like, oh, do you want to play this? Or I've got this week. Do you want to come around and play it and stuff like that? And it's like, it just makes us so happy to have all that stuff.
So I've just quickly mentioned just a couple of things that I've bought, and then we'll go on to what we've played while we were there. Because obviously me and you were there for both days. There were a couple of the other team members, and there is going to be a bit of separate audio for that because we had a bit of a recording session while we were there. So obviously I don't want us to, well, I'm hoping we don't repeat ourselves too much. I think the main thing for me, which I bought when I was there, which was so happy to get, it was just before we went on the Saturday night as well, because obviously we've been so busy. Then in the afternoon, it was just catching up with people, trying to play a few games. And I managed to get Rock and Roll Racing on the Super Nintendo. And it was boxed in, you know, quite good condition. Didn't have the manual with it, but it was £25. Good price for it, definitely.
Yeah. Have you remembered to avoid the mines?
I mean, it's just, I played it not last week, week before. So yeah, obviously a few days after play.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun because it's got that classic rock soundtrack. Yeah. And I just thought, I'll have a quick, you know, 20 minutes on it. So about an hour and a half after, you know, I came off it. And then the only other game that I really bought was Wave Race 64 on the N64. And again, like most N64 games, I'm terrible at it.
It is. I mean, I think that's a hard game. I mean, every so often put my copy on and I'm like, I've got to be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it just feels so hard. I mean, I've got the other one. I've got the follow-up. The Blue Storm on the GameCube, and it's just like both of them I'm absolutely garbage at. I mean, me and my mate played it, and I beat him, but compared to like the other races, we're like miles behind. It's like, man, I don't really know what I mean. And it's hard. A game's hard like that as well when you haven't got like a box complete version, so you can like look in the thing and find out the control. So playing it, you're kind of playing the N64 version, but blind. And you'd be like, oh, I'll just hit whatever.
I know. I'll practice with it and everything.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I know the other thing that I spent money on was, and you were with me for these, was the photos with Craig Charles, Chris Barry, and also the Iron Throne, because I had to do it while I was there. So that took up quite a bit of my games budget and everything.
Yeah.
So moving on now to games we've played. Now, a few games we played together, as some of them, you know, we went off to do our own thing a little bit as well. So first of all, really, I think the best thing to start with was on Sunday morning, we tend to get more into the games a bit more. And we started off with WWF No Mercy on the N64, because when we walked in on the Saturday and we saw this whole section of wrestling games, and with both of us being, well, first of all, wrestling fans and also wrestling game fans, it was like, wow, this is brilliant. And they had these fantastic pixelated sort of
banners, weren't they?
Banners.
Yeah, I was thinking about stealing them and taking them.
Oh, I know. I think they'd notice. But yeah, so you challenged me to a game of No Mercy. Unsurprisingly, what was the result?
Well, in the words of Stone Cold, I think I stomped a mud hole in your ass.
I remember choosing Triple H and you got Stone Cold. Got me with about 3 stunners. And then, it was obviously first win of the day to you. Mm-hmm. But then straight after playing this, there was obviously, you have all the cosplayers there, and there was a massive guy, mind you, again, most people are tall compared to me.
Yeah. But I'm not a very good tall guy myself.
Oh, I know, but this guy was huge. He was dressed like Hulk Hogan. I think he may have just been some sort of wrestler anyway.
Well, I think he had the kind of build, didn't he?
Yeah, but it's when I just said to him, he was like, oh, can I just get a picture? And he was like, yeah, go on. Do you want me to do a wrestling move on you? And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, why not? And I'm giving you my phone to take the picture. And it was just like, he swept me up. It sounds a bit weird. Swept me up off my feet. I know, but he's just like, I don't know if he's going to just drop me or something, but the look of my face on this photo, God, it was so funny. But yeah, this you know, it was a good fun start to the day, really.
Yeah.
And then the other games that we actually managed to get on, and I was really, really happy about seeing these, because you had the Retro Games Party guys there who obviously collect and, well, hire out these, you know, arcade cabinets. Now, they've obviously been looked after. Some of these are really old and everything, so you got your collectors there or whatever. But there they had the sit down Afterburner Cab, and also sit down Outrun, and also sit down Super Hang On. So obviously made our way over to the sit down Outrun. First of all, again, I didn't really do that well on it, mainly because I forgot to do something. And then Phil played a lot better at it because he changed gears. And when I was watching you play it, Phil, I don't know, I was quite surprised how much better you were doing than me. And it was so long.
It was when you looked over and you were like, oh, I didn't change gear. And I was like, what? But it was like, I think we need to explain, like, that what kind of that Outrun does as well, though, isn't it? Because it's not just like a normal standard seat, is it?
No.
It kind of like, much like what they had with the Afterburner. It isn't just a seat. It's like the cab moves,
yeah,
depending on if you're in like a power slide or not. I think, isn't it Turbo Outrun as opposed to being just the original Outrun? I'm sure it is.
I think you went on Turbo Outrun because I think that was there as well. Slightly smaller sit down cab, I seem to remember. Mm. But yeah, I think one go on Outrun was enough. I just wanted to experience it again, and like we said, for every single event like this, it's great to bring back those memories, because it had been, I tell you what, it must be well over 20 years since I've been on a sit down cab of Outrun. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I saw you on Super Hang On as well.
Super Hang On was excellent, and I love playing that version where it's actually the on the bike. But the only problem is with the version that I had there, the brake was broken, and I was a bit like, oh, this is gonna be really hard. So I kind of had to rally around the corners, and because obviously you've got that instant drop of speed, having to like negotiate the corners with the deacceleration, it's kind of like, I knew I was probably only going to get to like stage 2.
Nice.
Because it's that's an insanely hard game, that.
Definitely. That's harder than that's what I was about to say then. It really is difficult and everything. I remember having it on my Atari ST, but then when you're playing it in the arcade, it's totally different, you know.
The other one was... Afterburner, wasn't it?
Because they had
Roll Cage. And unfortunately, every time I went over, every time I saw somebody playing on it, I was like, oh, great, I'm going to go and have a go now. And when I got there, they were having to fix it. And I was like, that happened to me like four times. And I was like, I haven't played that version of Afterburner since we're at the Metro Centre when we're kids. And it's just like, and it was gutting us every time I walked past it. And it was like, I mean, obviously, these are all old arcade cabs. So the bound to go kaput every now and again. If there's one game in here that I didn't want to go kaput, it was that.
No, of course.
It was like, and I bet like the guys who took them arcade cabs were good as well, because obviously it was like a main feature as well, wasn't it?
Definitely. But then again, I've seen obviously on Twitter and Facebook, they seem to do quite a few events now up and down the country. And so it's obviously something that they want to get their machines out and about more and more. So hopefully next time, you know, we can get there, definitely.
No, definitely.
We also went on Killer Instinct against each other, which...
Well, not straight away, though. I had to win the cab, remember?
Oh, yes, of course. When that guy was saying, oh, do you guys want to go? And we thought, oh, this is nice, he's going to move for us. Nope, it was winner stays on. It was like being back in the arcades.
It was.
Being a child, you know? Yeah.
Bro, so I had to, like, step up. I asked you if you wanted to go. You're like, no, you take this one. I think you were still so after that beating on No Mercy.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Confidence was a bit low. Probably one is the cab. So I stepped up and I'm like, I'm awful at Killer Instinct. Like, I can't play the Super Nintendo version to save my life. Like, I can win like one fight against the computer and I just get destroyed. And I stepped up to this bloke and I was like, oh, we're never going to win this arcade. and I started and I was like, I'm just going to be DJ the TJ combo, because obviously he play it like Balrog or something now with the soft and the mid punches and stuff. And I was like, actually, I'm stringing some combos together here. This is quite good. And I was like, and like it went like, I won the first round, and obviously you have to like fight on your previous power bar, don't you, on Killer Instinct? You don't
yeah,
like
yes.
I won the first round, and I was like, but I'd taken a bit of a licking, and then he came back and like won the next round. And it was like, but my bar was like so much at the bottom anyway. It was like when I like restarted, we both still had quite full energy bar, and I was like, I'm never going to beat him. So then I started again, and I was like, I took the fight to him like straight away. And and I was like, I'm going to win this. I can't believe it. And then, so I put him on his backside, and like, because I'd never win at Killer Instinct, I did a proper shameful, get in there, in his face. And I was like, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And I was like, apologized to him and just started laughing. I was like, I shouldn't really play a fighting game. I don't know.
But no, then we got our match and you beat me on that. But again, I've not played Killer Instinct in the arcade for a long time. So I was quite surprised that if you do win a round, it's continue with the energy bar you've got. And it just makes it so difficult. But no, it was good to obviously have a go on that. And then I know we move around too. And this is what we touched upon. Well, this is what I was about to touch upon before. We moved around onto the Turtles cabinet. Mm-hmm. And there was already two people on there. So obviously it went from two Turtles to four Turtles.
Yeah.
And it was good to play that, because I've not played four-player Turtles for, oh, donkey's years. You know, going back to the days in Funfairs and Butlins and things. But what I just wanted to say was, before, when you said as soon as you have those infinite credits, it just makes it so much easier, you know, just knowing that, because you're not as careful about being hit, because you're just thinking, oh, my energy bar's going down, whatever, I'll just press one up.
Exactly, you just hit the button again, didn't you?
So yeah, that was good to obviously try that. And I had a quick look round. I think you were heading over to Turbo Outrun, but I managed to see Kung Fu Master there. And I mentioned this on my arcade episode, and I'd not played Kung Fu Master for years, and it still run really well. So obviously, if it looks after some of these really old arcade machines, it is quite difficult, because obviously it's non-stop bad guys running towards you.
Yeah.
You know? And as soon as one of them throws a knife at you, you're like, oh, God. But yeah, it was good to play that, and that brought back a lot of good memories. Then the other thing we did play, because I don't know about you, but I didn't tend to go on any console games there, apart from Rock Band. Now, we had...
I forgot all about we did that, didn't we?
I know. I've just remembered now, because when we had... well, it was set up right next to the bar area.
Yeah.
And so we met up with a couple of people and, you know, listeners, chatting to them and chatting to a couple of team members. I was like, ah, oh, come on, we'll go and have a go on this. And there was you, me, and, well, I'm not going to say who the other person was, just in case this part goes out before the announcement of the recording we did. But we went over there, and it seemed to be not like a case of winner stays on. It seemed quite polite with anyone who wants to have a go, step up, get a guitar, bass guitar, you know, microphone, whatever. And the amount of songs you had to choose from.
You just didn't know where to start, did you?
No, you didn't. And it had to be a song that we all knew.
Well, that was the thing as well. It was like, when I says, oh, I'll have a go. And I looked around and I was like, oh, all the guitars are taken. I have to sing. And I was a bit like, I don't think I'm the worst singer in the world, but I'm not the most confident either. And I was like, if I kind of like, I've got to pick a song that I know, like the off the bat, like back me heart, because then I can like, I can just focus on doing that without having to worry about who's looking at us.
Yeah.
Because like I only do like karaoke every now and again, and I only ever do songs I'm really comfortable with. So I was like, I was looking through the list. And I was like, can I choose? Because then I've got, obviously, yeah, I've got to sing, I've got the heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we're looking down and it was like, and I was like, oh, God, I've got to be quick because like people don't want to have a go on this. And I was like, oh, Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me. And I was like, that's one of the songs I sing in the car when I'm on my own. I've never sung it. And the thing is, it wasn't just the lads who were playing on it as well with us. It was like, there was loads of people standing around as well, wasn't there?
I know.
And it was just like, and I was like, oh my, like watching. I was like, I don't care what I sound like in the car.
It was fun. I mean, we also...
I think we all did admirably.
Yeah, I don't think any of us can give up our day jobs to try and become rock stars. But
no.
Yeah, it was good just having a bit of a laugh and everything. You took part in a tournament, yes,
they ran what was dubbed by Katsu as a random fight tournament where it was one round. You got one round, it was knockout, one round knockout. But every round they changed the game, so nobody knew what it was going to be until the round started. Well, I may as well. What bad can I do? And then the first game up was like Soul Calibur 3. I'm not very good at Soul Calibur anyway, and I've never played Soul Calibur 3.
Oh.
And I was like, and I started the fight, and I was like, and I was doing quite well. I was like, oh, I'll be Mackie, because obviously he's got like quite fast, got a good reach, and I started the fight, and I was like. And I was doing quite well, and I was like, I think I've got this one. Like, you get your confidence up. The other lads started coming back, and then I was like, if I just sidestep him and go in with a throw, I've got this fight when I'm through the next round. And I sidestepped him like a boss, and then went for the throw as he sidestepped as well. And I was like, oh, no. And he just turned around and walloped us in the face, and I was like, oh.
it was like good to be able to do stuff like this, because I think that's one of the things that Play Expo push as well. They push these sort of like fighting tournaments, some professional, you know, for like big prizes and get your name in lights type thing. And then you've got stuff like this where it's just sort of off the cuff. Let's just have some mates together and have a laugh. Now, the other person that we did meet there was the wheel. Just before Play Expo, we ran a competition to win two tickets to the Sunday. So Ian Rove was like, just me and Phil there, we wanted to obviously find out what the person was like who won the tickets. Really nice gentleman called Rob, and he was there with his good lady. And we spent a good half an hour or so chatting to him, didn't we?
Yeah, he's a lovely man.
No, definitely. I mean, he said it was his first event and he was just overwhelmed, and he'd shown us quite a few things that he bought. And I think he mentioned that he bought his daughter a Super Nintendo, which straight away gets massive, massive points from me. And he was saying he was after Castlevania 4, and then oh God, it was really good speaking to him. And then obviously we had a couple of pictures with him, and then we also had a picture with him with someone in cosplay as some weird creature. I can't remember what it was from.
No, I hadn't got a clue. I originally thought she was Red Dwarf, you know, the Gelf.
Oh yeah.
I thought she was that. And I was like, because obviously Craig Charles was there. I was like,
yeah.
But she had this crow, and I was like, the xenomorph, the polymorph wasn't a crow. I'm sure it wasn't.
No.
And I was like, so it mustn't be that. But I was like, so what the hell is it? But I think like after she walked away, there was some other people came over, and they were like really interested because it was a good outfit.
No, God, it looked absolutely stunning. I mean,
yeah.
That's just it. I'm only going to touch upon cosplay just for a sec, but the effort that some of the people go into, and in regards to, they must mark it on the calendars, like obviously a massive countdown. I suppose just like what we do about going to shows, we're there to go and either promote podcasts, play some games, catch up with people, buy a few things. They're there obviously to go look at what I can make. And again, I briefly mentioned before, if I designed my own game covers, it'd look like, you know, awful, absolutely terrible. If I tried to make my own cosplay outfit, it'd probably just be a white bed sheet and some sort of toilet rolls attached to it. I've not got a clue what it'd be,
I've seen your pictures of where you were at Razor Ramon, and you look pretty good, mate.
Oh, thank you. But it was my wife who did the T-shirt and everything.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, we're recording this just before Halloween, and with that one, it's obviously a shop-bought costume and everything for me.
What are you going as?
Well, I can tell you because I'll have done it by then. Going as Rick from The Walking Dead, because it's a zombie apocalypse theme. Ah. So the house is in the process of being turned into a rundown, safe house from the zombie horde. But yeah, I could go on about that for absolutely ages, but I'm not going to. As well as the games, catching up with mates, playing the games, buying the games. There's obviously quite a few talks there as well. So we have a chance to obviously listen to a couple of the talks. Obviously, it's so busy and the days fly by. One of the ones that I managed to take part in, watching on the Saturday, was with Charles Cecil, creator of the Broken Sword games. Now, that was obviously really interesting because I'm only going to quickly touch upon this, but being a massive fan of the point-and-click, you know, adventure games, and with that one being one of the last ones, really, that I've played and enjoyed so much, it was really interesting seeing, you know, what he had to go through to make this game, you know, testing it out with what people thought, you know, before it actually was released and everything. And I was able to obviously have a few words with him at the end of the day, get me a copy of Broken Sword signed, which was really good. And then we also had someone from the team just getting a bit of footage for the Commodore 64 versus Spectrum debate as well, which, again, we caught parts off, you know, from the back, because I found myself still speaking about Broken Sword for so long.
The C64 and the Spectrum was it was quite one of them ones, because I felt a bit bad, because I've got absolutely zero interest in them systems, and I know I'll probably get kicked off the team for saying that. But
you've got your first red mark.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was getting asked, so what do you think? Which is the best?
You learn by spending time playing the machine or doing it. You know, whatever you're doing, the more you spend doing it, the more you get into it. I've said a few times now, my only experiences before with C64 were when I was a kid growing up, but over the last year or so, I got myself C64, a few games for it. And also, just quickly mention, I've managed to get a few given to me by a listener, Aaron White. He passed on a few of his doubles, so thank you to him there. So it's a good chance to play some of these games for the first time. I mean, I'm not up on the Spectrum at all, but and again, like I said at the start, in regards to things like the Saturn, and you know, because I stuck with the Sony PlayStation. But again, it's just, I think, as obviously a mixture of hosts that we have here. We've all got our strengths and things, and between us, obviously, we do cover quite a lot of topics. Another one of the talks the next day, which I only saw a few minutes of, was the Mel Croucher one, talking about Deus Ex Machina.
Mm.
And I wish I'd just caught a bit more of that.
I looked that up when I got back, because I was like, I've never really heard of that. That sounded really interesting. I wish I'd watched that. You don't really know what the subject is. And then, so you like, oh, I'll go and do something else. And then it was only out of curiosity, because it was like, I was like, oh, it must just be about the Deus Ex games on the PlayStation or whatever. And then I went home and I was like, I'm going to look that up. And I was like, oh, that sounded really interesting.
Well, I know that it was absolutely heaving, you know, standing all around the sides and everything. Sadly, I didn't get a chance to see the Cinemaware or Team 17 talks, because, but like I say, by the time you get towards the end of the day, you know, the hours just fly by. But obviously, we will quickly go on to Cinemaware, because on the Sunday, we both went along to obviously play a few games, but have a bit more of a look round, because like we said, the Saturday absolutely flew by. So on the Sunday, we went over to the Cinemaware stall and spoke to a guy there who works the company, Sven, who was a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, actually. He's such a gentleman, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Let's have a go at his Wings Remastered. Yeah. So go on, what did you think of that? Because it's a lot better than me.
It was one of them things that, like, that Wings Remastered isn't something that, like, normally I would play. But listening to him and him talking about, like, the process and stuff out of how like he's creating it and things like that, it was like, I'm kind of appreciate it a bit more. Definitely. You know what I mean? It's just like, and to play his game and, like, to actually, like, meet somebody who's actually part of the creative process as well. It's just like, it's, you get so much insight into it.
No,
and that game is excellent. You know what I mean? It's one of them. It's kind of got like that kind of. It's still got that retro vibe. It's like, I think it's like with a lot of things. It's like when they did their remastered version of like Bionic Commando Rearmed, and it was like, so it's like, it's something that's very like a very old style of game, but it's got like a new lick of paint on it. It's like really familiar, but like new at the same time, and I really really like that. But I know I've discussed it with like HD remakes and that with people before, because I'm not necessarily like a fan of stuff like that. Because I think like I'd rather have it the way it was.
Yeah.
Someone I've been chatting to people on Twitter a lot this week, and it's like, with like the Halo box set coming out, it's only last generation. Why do you need an updated version? You know what I mean? And it kind of sticks in my craw, because I think it's kind of like just more like a proper cash-in, bundling everything together. And it's like, people have kind of justified it to us and said like, oh, well, you got to remember you're getting like a whole box set for the normal price of a retail game. And it's like, and I'm like, yeah, but you've got them anyway. You know what I mean? It's like, you've got them already. You don't need to shell out again. But with something that's like an older game, obviously it's harder to come across the, unless you're like a collector or anything like that, it's harder to come up, like, to get the hardware to play the original.
Yeah, definitely.
So to play like definitely an updated version of it for your new console or your new PC rig or something like that, it does have like a lot of value.
No, I agree with that, definitely. Because again, like with that original, like Wings, quite old, you know, going, I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head. And then the other thing, he didn't have a copy to show, but it was a Mega Drive release of the It Came From The Desert. Now, I remember this on the Amiga, and he just had the Mega Drive box. And it was just to see sort of like a newly made Mega Drive game physically with a physical box and everything. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And he looked so happy, that I suppose that sort of reaction, because I was just like amazed. And I know obviously the thing he had up and running was Wings, like you say, it looked really shiny, and it wasn't just a playing game, it had a few different, you know, modes and type of levels. But I was still blown away by seeing a new release Mega Drive game.
That's the thing. I mean, I mentioned it was another thing I was chatting to people, like it was probably about a couple of years ago, like on Twitter, with that wouldn't it be great if like bigger companies still released for old consoles?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, cause like there's still like a big fan base in that. But if you can imagine like if they took what they kind of know now and took it in, like, took it back to an older console. It's like Stormwind that came out on the Dreamcast like 2 years ago. Mm. Was like a phenomenal game. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah. I know it's like kind of like a small production company that made it, but it was like a proper release. The consoles have still got like a massive following. It's like just because you don't see them like bought in like the high street shops like game and stuff like that doesn't mean they're not still relevant.
They should do it for like, you know, when it's anniversary editions. Mm-hmm. But the closest you get to that is I'm thinking back to when we were up at playing Blackpool. And they had, I don't recall seeing it at Manchester one, but they had a section just called Games That Weren't. Mm. And then they had a game on Super Nintendo up there called Nightmare Busters. And I know they did a very limited edition run of this game, you know, like internet only. And I'm sure it was like 70, possibly 75 quid. It was done in a proper box, proper manual and stuff. And again, I know like, you know, quite a few consoles have had that done for them, like you say, for Dreamcast as well. But I don't know, that's I'm not going to go any further into it because that would be an entire topic, you know, for another episode really. But anyway, moving along, we've covered CinemaWare. Now the big one, something we're both absolutely blown away by. I'll let you lead in with this.
Definitely, unless there's something else I want to mention about the weekend that was a highlight. This blew me mind. When we first went in on the Sunday, we're kind of like at the top end of the venue where they had all of like the PS4 stuff and they had like a load of like TV memorabilia and stuff like that. And then there was a store where this production team was showing off the Oculus Rift. And it was like this new first person horror game. And it was like, and I went to you, I was like, oh, I'd really like to go on that. But that queue's a mile long. I'm just going to like slack it off. I'm not bothered. Yeah, I don't even know what that game is kind of thing. So I don't know if I want to stand in that queue to kind of play like a poor horror title. So I was like, oh, well, I really want to go on Oculus, but I'm just going to have to let it go again. And then so walking around like after CinemaWare, and it was like, but it was like right next to the stalls where the shops and that were. And then it was like, oh, LlamaSoft, and they're doing it on the Oculus. And it was like, oh, it turned out that Jeff Minter was there with Giles showing off TXK on the Oculus Rift. And it was just like, not only do I get to meet Jeff Minter and Giles, but I also get to go on the Oculus Rift, because there was like, when we got there, there was absolutely no queue for it. So we just like, I think you went on it first and I spoke to Giles about like how the game controls and stuff like that. But it was really nice because they were like, Giles was like telling you the controls and stuff like that, showing you the controls like when you hadn't got the headset on. And then when obviously you put the headset on, you can't see anything else. So he's like, he put the controller back in your hand and he was putting your fingers on the controls and stuff.
Yeah.
He was like, that does that and that does that. And then to play it was just like, I realized then I'd seen the future of video games. Because I don't think anything, after playing the Oculus, I don't think anything wouldn't be improved by playing on the Oculus. Like, any game you can think of would be always better played on the Oculus. I mean, what did you think of it?
I didn't know what to expect. I'd heard of it. It was
TXK.
TXK.
It's a spiritual follow-up to Tempest 2000, which, obviously, I left it out in my latest game pickups, that I've since come back from the event, and obviously he's been so blown away by meeting Jeff Minter. I was like, well, I'm going to go and buy Space Giraffe on the Xbox 360 to play that. Mm-hmm. And I was on eBay the other day and I was like, right, next time I see Jeff Minter, if I don't have something from the sign, I'll be gutted. So I went straight on eBay, Tempest 2000 for the Saturn, bought it, you know, got it now under nice, nice, pristine copy. And that's going to hopefully have Jeff Minter's signature on it one day.
No, he always does these events. And I think it's the fact, like, well, I saw him there at Play Expo last year and saw him at the Blackpool event. And, first of all, just what I thought of the game was, obviously, I played Tempest 2000 on the Jaguar when I was a kid. And obviously, you've seen these wireframe graphics. And after having it all explained to me, I was like, yeah, go on, I'll give this a try. And straight away after, I think I got to like about level 5 on it, the game immerses you in it, obviously with the headset on, you know, the earphones and everything. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to Jeff after, and I was just like, first of all, thank you for, you know, letting us have a quick go on that. Mm-hmm. And I just said to him, you know what, I've seen you at so many of these events, I'm just always nervous about speaking to you. And I know this is sort of like the on-running joke, and it was the same when I was at Revival with, like, you know, Jim Bagley and the Ocean guys.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, speaking of Jim Bagley and Matthew Cannon, got to chat to both of those gentlemen there again, which was absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just good to obviously see, again, these legends and catch up and speak to them again, really. But yeah, I was quite impressed by getting a chance to obviously speak to Jeff Minter.
Mm-hmm.
And now it really is roll on to see what else he's working on and see if it, you know, what he shows off each time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I hadn't really followed Jeff's work a lot over the last few years, but because obviously I played like the older ones, like, what's it, Llamatron and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Revenge of the Cannibals and things, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember playing them on the Atari ST.
Yeah.
And then I haven't, like, up until, like, so, and we were talking, like, how long ago was the Atari ST? And then, so I haven't played, like, a Jeff Minter game really since then. I'd heard he'd, like, obviously released stuff like Tempest and stuff. And it's like, but I'd never played a game. It was like, so I was a bit like, I don't know what to say to him when I talk to him, because I haven't, like, I'm not really familiar with his software. I know him and I've read interviews with him before and stuff like that. So I was like, I do like the bloke, you know what I mean? He's like quite like he's a retro gaming legend, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
So I was like, I need to speak to him. And then I was like, oh, like, I really love like TXKS, as it reminds us of a lot of Rez. And instantly he was like, what an amazing game that is. And I was like, oh, thank God he said that, because I know that Rez is one of them ones that polarizes his opinion. I think it's like, it's my favorite game of all time. I don't think anything's ever come close to beating it. I mean, it polarizes his opinion, because it's like, unless you like Panzer Dragoon and stuff like that, it's one of them things that, like, it's a rail shooter, so not many people like. Like, my best friend despises it. But he said, but Jeff said, it was like, oh, it's a great game. Isn't it a shame that nobody's developing a new version of that for the Oculus? And I was like, oh my God, can you imagine how amazing that would be? So we just stood and, like, going, like, kind of wax lyrical a bit about how great Rez was. And I was like, I felt a bit bad talking about a Q-tainment game to Jeff Minter, who's, like, showing up his stuff. But it was, like, it was kind of good that he would even have the time to have that kind of, like, discussion about, like, games and stuff like that.
No, it was good. I mean, it just gives you a chance to, obviously, well, every single person that I've met in these last few events who we hold up to giving us so many memories growing up and everything, and they just always say, look, we're normal people, we're here to speak to, you know, about games we've made. And it's absolutely a fantastic chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, wrapping this up now, it just comes down to, that's about, I think, the fourth event now that I've been to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the next play event up in Blackpool, they're doing that for 3 days for the May bank holiday, but I know that's way far in the future at the moment. Even though I end up buying less and less at each event, it's more about just catching up with people and the chance to, you know, speak to friends, play a couple of games that you never played before, and really that's about it. I mean,
and,
what do you hope to get from other events you're at?
Just the more of the same, really. I mean, I love going to, like, these events, and I say that just to obviously do a bit of game chasing, and then. But now I think now, especially with being a bit more part of the community and stuff, and getting to know people, it is going to be like half the joy of going to these events now is getting to meet people that you're never going to get, the people you're never going to get to see week in, week out.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people like yourself and stuff like that. And on the first night, we decided to go for something to eat, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think you strategically got us lost and taken home while stopping off at your local pizzeria for a candlelit dinner for two.
I know, that was that was quite funny how that happened.
Oh, but it was.
The thing is, though, it was just more the fact that, obviously, for those that are, you know, who may not be into rugby, with the event held right so close to Old Trafford, the Rugby League grand final was due to be finishing, so we're like, oh, we're starving. Let's go on and get something to eat. And then we said, oh, we'll go over towards Bolton. And Phil's obviously not from round Wigan way. I think you can tell by his accent. But I think we decided, oh, we'll head over to Bolton. And then when we were on the motorway, got chatting, went onto the wrong lane. And then I think his son always said, oh, I'll go on then, we'll go to Wigan. So then I thought, oh, okay, I've got the restaurant, and then managed to get a table for two. Which, as you say, luckily they didn't actually give us a lit candle, but it was so funny because he just went, oh, there's a group of about 20 women up there. And we thought, this is going to just look strange, you know, type thing. But no, it was a good laugh at, you know, I had a catch up with horror films and TV, thoughts on games and everything like that. But yeah, it was really, really good. Right, have you anything else you want to plug, or how do we follow you on Twitter?
If you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is last one up. That's one, the number, not written. I don't talk about much else but computer games. So I hope, obviously, if you listen to this, you'll not be put off by that. But it's not just retro. I talk about like a lot of new games, and I'm always up for having a bit of a chat or a bit of a debate or a bit of an argument. That's the way inclined.
Excellent. And on Twitter, I'm PDMonPaul, or again, follow us on Retro Asylum 1. That's the Twitter. I'm on Facebook, and I do post on the Retro Asylum Facebook page. And really, that's everything. All right, thanks a lot for listening, guys, and we will see you soon.
This is Nancy at Chase headquarters. We have an emergency here. Carlos, the New York armed robber, has been seen listening to Retro Asylum without leaving a review on iTunes. Over.
Leave it to us, Nancy, baby. Let's go, Mr. Driver.
If you really enjoy the Retro Asylum podcast show, then please leave us a review on iTunes.
Hi guys, this is Steve, aka Press Play on Tape. Coming up is our live recording that we did a couple of weeks ago at Play Expo in Manchester. Just before we play the clip, just want to explain a couple of things. Firstly, the sound recording. Play Expo is a big, massive event with thousands of people there. And basically, they give us a side room that we could record in. However, it was just some dividing walls with no ceiling or anything. So there's quite a lot of background noise, which you'll hear, which is just basically the crowd, all the people around us while we're recording. So apologies for that. And secondly, we had a couple of guys off the forum come and meet us. We had Aaron White and Bitten by Chiggers, is his Twitter name. And they were great. They come and said hello to us, and we invited them in to be interviewed with us. And I just wanted to say, I kind of got swept up in the mood of it all, and I took the mickey a little bit out of Bitten by Chiggers, well, mainly out of his Twitter handle. So just a quick apology to Bitten by Twiggers. Bitten, I've done it again. Sorry, Bitten by Jiggers. It was great to meet you, mate, and you, Aaron. Thanks for coming down, guys, and no offence meant. I hope I didn't take the mic too much. Anyway, here's our live show from Play Expo 2014. Hope you enjoy it, guys.
As you can hear from quite a lot of background noise, I'm not actually in the fairground, but I'm at live from one of our events. We've gone to visit Play Expo 2014 in Manchester, and with me today is the one and only Paul Monaghan.
Hello.
Phil.
Hello.
And the Drisk.
Hello.
Hello. And we also have some special guests, one of which we will mention in a moment, not giving his name away. Also introducing himself is...
Hello, it's Aaron White, aka AaronUB40, off Twitter.
Hello, Aaron. How are you finding Play Expo today?
Very busy, enjoyed it so far. Been on lots of machines, pinball, arcades, all sorts of different things. 8-bit machines, 16-bit. Had a look around the stalls and, you know, had a good time so far, so I've been enjoying it.
Brilliant, okay, we'll come back to you and have a proper chat in a bit. And we've also got another member of our forum, who is...
Hi, Andrew, Bitten by Chiggers.
Why Bitten by Chiggers? I asked you this before, but...
It's from the Vic-20 Adventureland game.
Okay.
A phrase that always caught me as a kid, I just wondered what a chiggers was. So I had to look it up in the dictionary. So it's always stayed, really.
Brilliant, okay. And how are you finding Play Expo?
Apart from being among stars, very good. Just had a look around, played a few arcades, had a look at a few stalls.
Being among stars? You mean us?
Too right.
He's been following us around all day. We have to let him join the podcast, otherwise he would have just followed us home, probably. Now, we've also found an extra special guest who we found him roaming around the expo today. It's the one and only Andy Godoy. He's back for today, for one day only.
How you doing, guys?
Too bad. How are you doing, Andy?
Yeah, not too bad. You guys found me hanging around outside Play Expo, just doing nothing.
Busking.
Trying to get along, make a few pennies. Trying to get by.
You were sitting on the floor with a cup and an old Atari 2600.
I've got the beard for it, at least.
It was an old Atari 2600. We'll play retro games for money, wasn't it?
It was indeed, mate.
So, how are you doing, mate?
I'll use my catchphrase, absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. it's like you never left.
It feels like it, to be honest with you. It's nice being surrounded by some lovely people, all smiling, we're all having a good time. It's an amazing expo, and it feels weird me being interviewed for once.
I know, it's kind of a bit of a role reversal.
You know what, it feels like I'm being interrogated, because we're sitting here in a circle table, and everyone is just staring at me, and I can just feel your eyes burning at me.
Pressure
or what?
You joined the Geeks of the Round Table.
That's what it is, Geeks of the Round Table. That's what the podcast episode should be called.
Cool. Okay, so we've been here for a few hours now. We've played a few games, we've met a few people. So shall we go around the table and have a little chat and see what people's thoughts are, what they've done, what they've enjoyed? So we'll start with...
Hello, everybody.
the one and only Mr. Paul Monaghan. So, Paul, tell us a bit about your Play Expo.
Hello, everybody. At the moment, I've not really had too much time to play games. I've just been trying to take it all in, have a look round, check out a few of the stalls, price up a few games. Because of that, I've only really bought one thing, and that's Worms on the Mega Drive. I've just been queuing up to meet Chris Barry of Red Dwarf and Tomb Raider fame. I didn't sit on his knee this time. I just stood next to him, just grinning like an idiot. But I've got his autograph now, so I'm well happy over that.
And
I know, we went, can you please not just grab it onto him, sir? I know, get the mace, you know. But no, it's really good. Like I say every time, the big thing I enjoy the most really is obviously having a chance to catch up with you guys, catch up with other listeners of the show, speak to fellow traders now and, you know, other podcast hosts. And obviously, all becoming mates and everything. It's really good.
Okay, so we've also got Paul Driscoll here with us today. Hello. Finally, we tried to get him at Revival and he'd ran off.
Yeah, I had to get a lift back.
So that's his excuse. So, how are you finding today, Paul?
Yeah, I'm having an amazing time. I've been able to play the Outrun Deluxe Cabinet and the Afterburner Deluxe Cabinet. So, I mean, that's been a dream for a long time. I've been many years since I've had a chance to play. That's the one that moves. So that's been awesome. And I was saying to you earlier, Steve, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm going to be good. And the next time you saw me, I've got an N64 under my arm.
I'm going to use boxed. The word epic fail.
Yeah. So I bought a boxed N64. I've got boxed F-Zero-X and Perfect Dark. So, yeah. And a few Saturn games as well. So I've gone a bit crazy.
So how much have you spent? This is going out, your missus will hear this.
Yeah, don't listen to this with my wife.
Don't look at the joint account.
I've spent about 90 quid.
90 quid?
Yeah. It's not too bad, is it?
Honestly. 64 was mint condition.
Yeah, but there's a few hours left to go.
Are you listening, wife? It's not too bad.
What else are you going to buy?
No, that's going to be... Possibly it.
For now.
But yeah, same thing. I've found having a wonderful time. It's great seeing everyone. Great seeing Andy again. And it's just great, particularly with the arcades. That's for me the big thing.
Yeah.
Because consoles you can buy online and stuff, but seeing the arcades in the wild is a special thing.
Okay, so we've also got one of our newest members. Which is Phil, who's our graphic designer now as well, does some of the amazing covers for us. He did the Mastertronic and the Ocean and the Psygnosis covers for us, which are all awesome. So, Phil, how are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I spent most of this early part of the morning trying to keep Paul calm. I think he was getting a bit het up. Definitely likes a bit of a worry, don't you?
I do. I should be graver than this.
Yeah, I think you should. But
when he came in here.
Exactly, I think he sweated. He sweated his height out.
I wish he sweat his stomach down, you know.
But I've spent most of the morning trying to find everybody. To be honest, we finally got our table set up, and everybody went, "All right, let's go and play some games." I was like, "Oh, All right, well, I'm going to go and do some shopping, because what I tend to do is when I go to an event, I mentioned this in the interview with Sam, that I kind of like trying to do the run around and trying to, because I'm terrified I'm going to miss anything good. I was on my obligatory Capcom Fighters hunt, and I've come up shortchanged on that one, unfortunately, but I have picked a couple of things up. Story of Thor 2 on the Saturn, which cost us 30 quid. I'm a bit of a cheapskate, it's more than I like to spend, but I couldn't let it go because I've never seen it in the wild before. And Super Punch-Out, which I didn't really fancy, but then I read about it in last month's Retro Gamer, and I was like, you know what, I really should go and buy that. So I bought that guy from Sawtham Games. I tried to get a bit of a deal on it, and he knocked a quid off. After that, I've had a bit of a wander around, tried to talk to a couple of people, pestered people mostly, yeah. Kept checking back and seeing if anybody took our free stuff, which most of it's gone now. As long as they listen to the show, I'm quite happy. Yeah, I think my Turtles on the NES went straight away, and I was like, it's rubbish. But I think that, like,
my mate picked that up, who I work with, and he goes, oh my god, I got this off your stall. He goes, now I've just got to get a NES.
It's probably not worth it.
No, he loves Turtles.
All right. So then I've been going round. I've had a couple of games on the arcades and spoke to Phil from NERG and just a couple of other people. It's been really good.
But like I said at the beginning, we've got two guys from our forum also joined us. So Aaron, tell us a little bit about your Play Expo today and what have you seen? I know you said a bit at the beginning, but yeah. Any bargains you've seen? Anything you want to pick up?
Yeah, I made a couple of purchases today. I've got Wonder Boy 3 The Dragon's Trap on the Sega Master System, which I've never played, so I'm looking forward to playing that. I know Andy's a big fan of that, so it's come highly recommended. I bought New Zealand Story on the Mega Drive, Japanese version, which, again, one I've never played, but I ain't even got a Mega Drive yet. Recently as well on Kickstarter, there's a pinball game that I've backed that you can play on the PS4 called, and it's The Addams Family. And now when I walked into the hall here, I found loads of pinball machines, and there straight in front of it was the Addams Family, which I've never ever played, and I've never seen it ever, and it was like, oh, fantastic, you know, I've actually get to play it for real, and, you know, before I actually play, you know, the Kickstarter that's going to be I think it's out in February next year. So I've had a few goes on that. Played Power Drift, which is my favourite arcade of all time, really enjoyed that. Managed to get my name on the leaderboard, so didn't see no STE initials on there this time, so, you know, but yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's really busy, and, you know, hopefully get to play a few more games before I go home.
Great stuff. Okay, and lastly was thingy Cheggers from our Keith Chegwin. We've got Keith Chegwin with us today. So how are you finding it today, mate? Just tell us a little bit about your Play Expo.
I've not really done much at the moment, so I've spent more time in the queue getting in, and then when I came in I played a few arcades, so I had to go on Donkey Kong, obviously, but got to the third screen and then it went back to screen two for some reason. So
that's Donkey Kong. Does that?
Did that? And another go on Defender from sort of memories, and still rubbish at that.
Is it the joystick one or just the buttons one?
Joystick one. So I would probably be looking for Scramble and Time Pilot, which are probably two of my favourites, all time favourites. So I've loved them. Just takes you back to sort of the arcade scene, where there's not really much around these days, so it's just nice to see arcade machines all together, all lit up, and obviously, you know, cacophony of sound. I'm not a massive pinball fan, but, you know, to see the lights, it's still like being 7 year old going in and everything's lit up and walking in, you know, looking. So that's been fun. Trader wise, I've not had a look yet, but I'll probably look for something GameCube or Game Boy, probably two of my favourite systems, so play on them. And then obviously met Andy first, and then obviously found you lot. So yeah, so not really been too long, about an hour in total I've been here.
Brilliant. So would you come again?
Oh, definitely, first time here. So I missed it last year because I was on holiday.
So is this your first ever gaming expo, full stop?
Expo, yeah. Second one, I went in Manchester Bellevue when I was 12, so 30 odd years ago was the last time. So
tell us why you absolutely adore the Retro Asylum.
I never actually said that.
Just
remember you're surrounding our table
and we can't just
wear Retro Asylum t-shirts.
If we can't stop it and add something anyway.
I play quite a bit of PC games. I do collect older PC games because there's not many collectors around. Or you talk to people, they're all tend to be consoles But I do think there will be a market one day for old PC games, so I do collect those. But I also have a Spectrum, an STE, and quite a few Nintendo consoles, apart from SNES and NES. But when you talk to people, nobody plays games or they don't admit to it. So it's sort of like a taboo subject. I listened to other podcasts and then searching for retro, and your podcast came up, and then that was around about episode 60. I've sort of been hooked to it ever since.
So, actually, I'll ask just before we come to Andy, because I've got plenty to ask him. I'll come back to Aaron, because we've never asked you that before. Just, have you got your own gaming collection? What have you got yourself?
I've got an ever-expanding Commodore 64 collection, and just buying games that I had back in the day that foolishly sold. So I'm nearly got a full Hit Squad collection now, which is, for anyone that don't know, it's a re-release of a lot of old Ocean games and other gaming labels. I've got a Sega Master System, I've got Game Boy, I've had a Game Gear, I'm waiting to get my Mega Drive, like I say. I've got an Amiga 1200, which I do a lot of things on, do a lot of my own music on. Unfortunately, though, there's been no Commodore stuff here today, which is a shame, but I have actually managed to meet one of my idols, Jim Bagley from Ocean, got him to sign my Ocean book, which was very nice of him, very kind of him to do. I had a nice chat with him, and I've got Vitas and things like that, PS4, but they're all too new for us to talk about. So
is Jim Bagley's knee still warm from Paul Monaghan sitting on it?
he said he was still suffering from cramp.
I'm not surprised. Did he run away when he saw Paul coming? Did you mention Paul?
I didn't dare, to be honest. I wanted my book signing, so I didn't want to upset him any more than, you know. So,
Paul, any plans to sit on Jim Bagley's knee today?
I don't think he'd let me, but I did manage to speak to him for a couple of minutes. I'm glad that, obviously, I felt a lot more relaxed to actually go and speak to these people this time. I know it was the unrunning joke when we were at Revival, and I was going round. I know. And I go around, I've got my Ocean book with me to see if I can get any more signatures. But I think the more of these events that we come to, you just start relaxing more. I know Phil's probably thinking, no way will he ever relax. Because as said, I would say from 9 o'clock this morning up until, what time is it now, about 1?
Yep.
I think I've slowly calmed down a bit. Yeah, so now
you're going to worry that you're not going to get round everything.
I know.
But I'm only coming back tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I've got to keep reminding myself. I've got a day 2 here, so it's going to be me and Phil here flying the Retro Asylum flag tomorrow. But I will quickly pass back to Steve.
Just mentioning there, you know, when you're going off to get these signatures off people, I've started to notice what I'm going to call the Paul Monaghan look of fear, which is the sort of look these people get in their eyes as you come towards them with your book under your arm. Like I said at the beginning, we've got Andy Godboy back with us for one show only. Well, actually, he's already been on another show with us, but he's come to see us. He's come with us today. So, Andy, you are probably now an old hand at these. I don't mean you're old.
Yeah.
Or you've got an old hand.
Very old hand. Just the one.
Just one old hand. Becoming a bit of an old hand that they're going to these expos and these different ones now. So, how are you finding Play Expo 2014?
To be honest with you, I'm actually really, really enjoying it. It's bigger. It's better. And I'm really impressed and wowed by it all, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it works well. It's not just retro gaming, it's got modern gaming, it's got cosplay, it's got loads of different things, and I think they really well complement each other. But the best thing is, basically, is seeing everyone that I've basically met again, like meeting yourself, Steve, meeting some of our listeners, and meeting people that I haven't met before, which, you know, it's really nice. I've talked to loads of people on the forums, but it's nice to meet people and to do things like this. I'm really, really enjoying it, to be honest with you.
Well, it's nice to have you back, you know.
Well, I'm glad to be back, you know, just for this particular episode. I've just been wandering around. I've missed retro gaming. I'm still listening to Retro Asylum Podcast, which still is the UK's number one retro gaming podcast.
You've been away for quite a few months now, so tell us a little bit what you've been doing yourself. I know you've been sort of getting back with your family a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you guys, all I've been doing is just travelling around. I had a few difficulties with work and houses and stuff like that, so I've been travelling up and down from London to Yorkshire and stuff like that. But when I have been down south, I've been playing loads of games. I've got a massive C64 collection, which is too big. I must have like about a couple of thousand games, and it's taking up way too much room. And I will give you some games, Aaron. I've promised to give Sam some games as well, but I'm so rubbish at just getting to the post office. But I've got a nice collection, though. Mega Drive, Super Nintendo. The only thing I don't think I have got is an Amiga.
You've got to get an Amiga.
Which I will do at some point.
You've got to get the Amiga. So is there anything else that you want to see here today? Anything, any arcade games you want to play?
Yeah, basically, that's what I want to do, mate. I want to play some arcade games, I want to play some Street Fighter 2, I want to defeat everyone here on this table. Okay. I want to play some Bomb Jack, I want to play ZX Spectrum. Challenge, that sounds like a challenge, guys.
Challenge accepted.
Go on, I'll tell you what, enough of me, back to you, mate.
Cool. So there's Andy, back with us, like I say, for one show only, and I think we'll all agree it's good to see him again. Is that a big yes?
Yeah,
come on, sound a bit more enthusiastic.
Andy! Andy!
We've never seen him before in the flesh.
But we love you!
Phil looks a little bit scared of Andy, to be honest.
Yeah, that's because I got my hand on his leg.
You've got his old hand. He's got his one old hand.
It's really cold and dead.
One cold dead hand on his leg. That's a bit rough, mate.
Yeah. Insult me, why don't you?
It's supposed to be making him feel welcome. So, I haven't sort of said what I've enjoyed myself because I've been hosting.
Leading.
Leading or bleeding?
Bit of both, really. Bit of both. For myself, I think it's the same thing a lot of you guys have said. It's sort of catching up with everyone. I think we kind of go into quite a lot of these events now, so. You know, you're kind of seeing a fair bit of the same stuff. You're seeing the arcade machines, you're seeing the old school computers. So for me, it's always kind of a case of like sort of bombing around and seeing what bargains I can pick up. A couple of the things I've spotted today, a few t-shirts. There's Competition Pro USB. I don't know if anyone's seen them.
Nope.
Remember the old Competition Pro joysticks, like the Zip sticks? Well, there's USB versions now. It's the same joystick.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can use it on your Mac or your PC for your emulating.
I've got two. They're brilliant. They're really good.
And Paul's got two. thanks
some
for that.
Somebody will buy it twice.
Well, you've got to play. You've got a sensible soccer.
I am making sure that we get some of these talks today. The one thing that our listeners will no doubt be impressed, well, I'm interested in, Commodore 64 versus Spectrum debate. I'm going
to
be over there at 5 o'clock today.
I don't want to talk as well about
that. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And also, you've got Charles Cecil from Broken Sword fame. He's going to be here doing a talk, so I want to make sure I get over there and see if I can get my copy of PC Broken Sword signed without scaring him to death.
You're going to try and get something signed?
I am going to get something signed. And tomorrow, cinema.
Any particular approach? You're gonna climb in his lap?
Just usually begging, you know. No, I just want to. Obviously, we've got a lot of point and click adventure fans, you know, like on the team. Myself, Sam, I think you are as well, Chris. So Broken Sword was a great game. So I've got a lot of good memories from there. And then tomorrow we've got Cinemaware and Team 17 here, and I think we can all agree, you know, proper retro gaming icons, these two companies. So to have a chance to try and, well, listen to what we've got to say, you know, discuss a few previous games, see what we've got up and coming, it's a great opportunity, and that's one of the things you can't pass up. But as we know, the days go so quick here because you're surrounded by games consoles, arcade games. We haven't even talked about getting a beer yet either.
That's next.
Yes.
Beer cast. From the bar. Okay, guys, so obviously we've all enjoyed the first day of Play Expo. It's been nice to catch up with some old friends and meet some new guys from the forums. I think we will get on Skype at some point and do sort of proper top and tail to this podcast.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is just sort of get backstage, just chat live from the event and just sort of give you our feelings. It's been nice chatting. It's been nice catching up with Andy again. So we shall catch you on the next part of the podcast. So bye from everyone. Bye from me.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
See you later.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.